Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was a previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I gotta tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we gotta do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
That's right, Stephanie. That is your right to know the truth. And that's what AppSats is all about. We train clinicians and coaches to help partners to know what are their rights, what can they expect. Now, we're not saying that if you ask for something, you're going to get it. But we do know that it is so important to know what other partners have felt made them feel safe. You know, that's why we're doing this show today. I had an email from a woman who said she had been listening to my podcast for years, reading my books and my blogs. Well, I feel so grateful. You know, I represent AppSats and always, always want to be partner sensitive. But I also started working with addicts before I worked with partners. And so what I know is that if the addict is in good recovery, the relationship can work. And if he's not, I can help both of them to determine what he can do to strengthen his recovery program. And so this woman wrote and said, "I'm currently in the depths of despair surrounding my husband's addiction and worse, his obvious mental health problems that coincide with his addiction and seem to make it impossible for us to heal." Her discovery day, or as many of you call it, D-Day, was over 3 years ago, and he was participating in the recovery process, but as a couple, they can't move forward. She says, "We are stuck. We're stuck in healing, and I am at a loss. We have your Help Her Heal workbook. He has a CSAT, which is important. She goes to therapy too. But there's this block or hurdle that she cannot pinpoint." Okay, that's always tough. You know, I say, when you're looking at your life, when you have to make decisions, when you're trying to create a sense of safety, always look at, what do you think, your intellect, what do you feel, which has to do with your emotions, and what do you know? That's your intuition. And the one thing I know is that she says, there's this block and a hurdle that she cannot pinpoint. So I asked her to come on the show to talk about that. And she said not only would she like to come on the show, but so would her husband. So this is the first for the AppSats podcast. We actually have a couple who are coming on to ask questions. Now, I have had couples in good recovery that are doing recovery coaching or therapy come on and talk about what they do. But this is a very courageous couple that wants help. And although I can't provide that within a period of an hour, I certainly can get them pointed to the right direction. And I felt like, you know, when I do group therapy with men or women, if somebody's struggling with something in the group, the thing I know is that every single person in that group has something that they're struggling with too, and they can relate on some level. And maybe they're struggling with exactly the same thing, but it may not. And so I'm hoping you, as my listening audience, will also get something out of this today. So we're going to continue to talk about her. She says, it took 2 years to understand and come to terms with all of his abusive behaviors that he used against me with his addiction. It took even longer to see that those behaviors were ingrained in his persona and were being used to silence me and my feelings. Wow. She says, since that realization, I've been trying to fight for my right to live without the stonewalling and the gaslighting and the manipulation, but it causes so much conflict between us. The conflict seems to be building into resentment. Well, yeah, I bet. He's resentful of me for trying to break free from the abuse, for pointing it out, and not just allowing it to continue unchecked. Okay. Now he holds the stance that I just want to fight with him about everything, which couldn't be further from the truth. I just want to feel free. And I'm scared every day because these conflicts have increased in intensity. Over the past year, I've become so frustrated that my trauma response around the abusive behavior has intensified. So when it comes about, I lose it. Okay. When he threatens to leave our family or says I'm fighting over nothing, my trauma response takes over and I'm sad and I'm disgusted. And sometimes I lash out in violence when this happens. Now, doesn't it sound like she's experiencing trauma brain? I just did a video on the science of partner betrayal and how trauma brain takes over. And I'm not making excuses for her. But truly, that fight, flight, or freeze inside of her brain is taking over, and she's probably a lot different than she's ever been in her life. So, she says, now because I've crossed that line, he uses it against me. He baits me by saying these things, even though I've been clear. I've been clear about a lot of things. I let him know what triggers me. I keep trying my best to work through this in my own therapy, but he has bad behavior towards me. He now has reason to hate me. He now has reason to reject me and pin all the current issues on me. Can you believe they're both coming in today? Well, at least I think they are. You know, sometimes that doesn't happen, but that's the plan. I have no safe place right now, and I don't know how to put this all back in the bottle. I'm afraid that I've ruined every bit of progress we have made because of my bad reactions. You know, I think they need a couples therapist. I don't know what you all think, but I definitely think that's what they need. I'm afraid that this won't get better. He would have me believe that my wrongs trump all of his because I can't put it back in this bottle. All of his wrongdoings have just disappeared since now he knows exactly how to trigger all of it. I'm scared that he knows exactly what he's doing. Oh, she thinks he's being intentional about it. I'm scared that all this work and pain and patience and hope has been for nothing. at the end of this, I feel like I just want all the pain to end. I need some guidance. Would you please help me? Okay, now the truth of the matter is, everything that happens to us, everything, it's important to know that it can serve a purpose. Maybe it'll help you create better boundaries. Maybe it'll help you with some anger management. Maybe it'll help you to decide the marriage can't work. I mean, I'm not saying that you'll get what you want, but I never want anybody to feel like their actions have been in vain, even if they are disappointed in their own actions. I made a mistake today, earlier, and I was mad that I hadn't double-checked myself. I knew better, but I didn't. But I did. And so I quickly had to say, you know what, Carol? You make mistakes. You're not perfect. You'll get through this. If you've offended somebody, you can talk it out. If they don't forgive you, it is what it is. You've done the best you could. And you all have heard me say this before. It's a coaching principle I use. Well, is if my intentions are pure, if I didn't mean to make that mistake, if I was trying to do something and I messed up, well, if my intentions are pure, I'll take the feedback, but I won't carry around with me any negative thoughts you have about me, because those are your thoughts. You have a right to them, but I'm not going to carry them around if my intentions are pure. And it sounds like her intentions were pure. Her brain went into a trauma response. And you know what? I do think that she's having a lot of mixed feelings. Now, if this show feels like it might trigger you, maybe it brings up gaslighting that you had to deal with. Or maybe it takes you back to a time when you lost control. I want you to take care of yourself. Turn me off. Turn me down. Walk away. Go to the bathroom. Come back. It's all about taking good care of yourself, learning what you can, and leaving the rest. So I'm going to say that right off the bat. And, you know, I really do believe in talk radio. I believe that oftentimes we can talk to somebody and help them with an issue. I used to do it on Drive Time. I had the Sex, Health, and Relationship show with Carol the Coach before I ever did addiction and partner betrayal. So I'm a believer in this. And I want to be partner sensitive. I want you all to hear, how does a partner sensitive clinician or coach deal with somebody who's having issues? It is a lot of psychoeducation. I want her to know what's normal. I want her to know how to get regrounded and resourced. You know, I want to take care of her. I want to take care of him. And I want to take care of the relationship. So that's a little bit about what we're doing today. And I want to remind you all that if you are a clinician listening to the show, you can be trained by APSATS by going to APSATS.org. And if you're a partner and you don't have any clinical background, but you'd really like to help partners, go to APSATS.org, take a look at the program for coaching, find out what the requirements are, and join our team. Because I'm telling you, we're a strong and mighty team. You know, Barb Steffen says it so well when she says, nobody would have ever wanted to be a part of this club. But now that you are, it may behoove you to figure out how you can help others. And that is always so important. Now, you know, I wrote this book, Unleashing Your Power. It's allegedly being released today on Amazon. See, it was released, and then my publisher stopped the release because Amazon had released it early. But I was okay with that. I didn't even know it was released early. And so when I found out it was released, I started talking about it. I told all my colleagues. I told my clients. I told you. And then all of a sudden, and I got people that were going, showing me the book on their counter and on their desk. And I just had a friend the other day that was reading it in Florida. So she's got the beach at her feet, and she's got the book on her lap. And I'll be doggone if it said, out of print, unavailable. And so people were telling me that. I'm like, it's not out of print. It hasn't even been on the market for a month. So that's what happened. My publisher pulled it back. He said it would be released on the 28th. That's today. Take a look at it on Amazon.com or go to Sano Press. That's S-A-N-O Press.com. And you can get it there for 20% off. I just don't believe that there is enough information on how to help partners get healthy. And, you know, right now I am writing a book for couples because, you know, my helper heal helps the addict to develop empathy to help his partner heal. And certainly lots of couples look at that together, and I advocate for that. But I thought, wouldn't it be nice for those people that do not have, if you will, the ability to, they don't have the ability to find a partner-sensitive therapist or coach, or maybe they can't afford it. You know, with virtual telehealth and coaching, we may not be able to cross state lines, but if you're a coach, you can always help a partner because you can practice all over the world. So there's no reason for people to be isolated. We all know that sometimes the addict does not have the same drive and motivation as you do, right? It's like they've got their own recovery program and they're on overload with that. And so to hear that they should be doing two or three more things, it feels incomprehensible to them. And I know that that then can feel disparaging to you because you're sitting there thinking, you did this to me. No, come on. I want you to do everything you can to help me heal. But the truth of the matter is, we can't expect our husbands or wives to do it exactly like we do. And so for that reason, I say, yes, make sure you let him know what you need, because a lot of times that's all they really need. All they really need is to know that you have some needs. And when they know what those are, they're willing to meet them. But other times, not so much. They may only have so much capacity for change at one time. That is an individual decision based on what that person thinks he or she is capable of doing. So, all right, I have got my listener on the line, and I didn't ask you ahead of time, what would you like me to call you?
You can call me Kim.
Okay. All right, Kim. And, very good. And are you by yourself or are you with your husband?
No, I do have my husband with me.
Excellent.
Steven.
Okay. And
I'm here.
And I can call you Steven?
Yeah, of course.
All right. So what questions do you have for me? And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Kim, I'm going to ask you to pick one question and ask me, and then I'm going to let Stephen respond to that, and then I'm going to ask Stephen to identify a question, and I'm going to let Kim respond to that, okay? So, Kim,
okay.
What question do you have for me?
I guess my biggest question is, how do you get the two of us, how do we get on the same page as far as what we view as those abusive behaviors that we were talking about. Like, I think we are miscommunicating about that, and I just want to be on the same page.
Okay, first of all, you were just breaking up a little bit. Are you holding your phone?
I am. You want me to put it back up?
Yeah, I want
Is
you to
better?
Go ahead. Yeah, that's
okay.
Better. And so what I heard you saying is, how do we get on the same page and acknowledge abusive behaviors or not, right?
Right, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'm curious if you would identify one abusive behavior that you wish Stephen would acknowledge.
There's always a repercussion for my feelings or opinions, and they make him angry, you know, no matter what it is. So I always feel stonewalled right away when I ask or want to talk about things.
Okay, and let me just tell my listening audience, stonewalling is a term that John Gottman created, and he said that if couples are going to have problems, they either are overly critical, overly defensive, they stonewall, or they have contempt for the other person. So you believe that Stephen stonewalls you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask Stephen. Stephen, what
okay.
do you think is going on? Do you recognize when you stonewall her?
Sometimes I do, not all the time. And I guess that's where the problem comes in, because I get adamant that I'm not doing it, and I just don't listen. So that seems to be a big issue I'm having as well.
Okay, so then you get adamant that you're not doing it, and she doesn't feel acknowledged, right?
Right.
And, you know, here's the truth, and I have to be honest. Sometimes when I'm working with couples, a partner will say, he's gaslighting me, he's gaslighting me. And really what's happening, he's not gaslighting. They are arguing about a difference that they both have. But other times he is gaslighting. He's actually denying reality and trying to make her feel crazy. So now we're talking stonewalling. And stonewalling is when you can't agree on something and you go your other direction, and it feels insurmountable. It's like an impasse that you can't get over, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so, Kim, when that happens, what do you do?
Usually I try to, like, bring it to reason, like, reason with him, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Try to see that my point is being heard, and then I become frustrated if it's not.
Okay. So, Stephen, one of the things that I think needs to happen, now I know that you have looked at and maybe read Help Her Heal.
Yes.
Is that true? Okay.
Oh, yes. I read the whole book, and I did a bunch of exercises. I didn't complete the book, though.
Exercises.
And thank you, because it is fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. And you remember that ABR formula. A stands for acknowledgement.
Yes.
And it really sounds like Kim wants to be acknowledged. Even if you don't agree with her, for you to say, I can understand why you feel like I shut you down because I stopped talking about it. And instead of taking it that next step that a man might take, which would be, I'm sick and tired of hearing you talk about these things over and over and over and over again. You just stop there and let her know that you acknowledge why she feels stonewalled. You acknowledge that, and that might be the only thing you need to do when she doesn't feel heard. Now,
right. One
of the things that I know is, you know, if you've read part of the book, Kim, could you see any difference in him when he was reading Help or Heal?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely see a difference when he reads that and, you know, really any kind of material regarding all of this. There's definitely a difference in his view of how things go on.
And can I ask you, because obviously you two have been, you're 3 years past discovery, right?
Yes.
And you both are doing phenomenal work. I mean, Stephen, you're going to a CSAT. Kim, you have your own therapist. Do you both go to groups?
I do a couple of groups online. But none of them seem like a good fit for me. So I don't know if you have any resources you can send to me later on, but it's been hard to find a group that feels right. So if you have anything, I would appreciate that.
Okay, and what are you looking for in a group? How could a group help you? Because it does sound like you need more support.
I definitely need more support. I feel like, so for a while I was doing a group on BTR. I'm sure you know that. And it's a little too much against, mm-hmm. I don't know, it seems harsh.
Against the addict. Yes, it is.
Against the
addict.
And at times mm-hmm. it's very triggering, you know, because I'm past that part of things. Like right now I just want to address what feels like abuse still. I'm not really in the betrayal part right now, if that makes sense. So their group is a little bit too much for me at times and triggering.
Okay.
And like the Essanon meetings, I don't really go with the, I try to take what I can and leave what I don't, you know.
I know, and a lot of people say about Essanon that, you know, they still work with that codependency model. And you know there are things that you need to work on, but it's not that you need to work on being codependent. You're not a co-addict, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. Well, I really
believe in the pro-dependence kind of thing as well.
Excellent. Right, and pro-dependence, and Stephen, do you know what that means?
Not really.
Right. Codependence is a term that Dr. Rob Weiss, put together to say that nobody should be pathologized if they love an addict or somebody with a serious mental health issue. And so being codependent means that it's okay to love somebody and to do the best you can in the relationship. So I have a list of groups that are led by APSATs, clinicians, and coaches. And I'm just putting it together now for my client, and I probably have 10 possibilities for you, and I will send that out to you, and then you can kind of go through, check out their website, see who resonates with you. Now, I'm not in their group, so I can't 100% vouch for them, but I will tell you that every person that I compiled, I had real respect for professionally, and I know they've been trained in the APSATS model, so they are partner sensitive, and in our model, we are also very sensitive to the man who has compulsive problematic sexual behavior. Now, Stephen, how long have you been in recovery?
It's been a little over 3 years. However, I had one relapse a year ago about. Actually, probably until May 10th is my date.
Okay, so you've been in recovery for 3 years. You had a relapse May 10th of 2020. And so that means that you've got about 9 months recovery again, right?
Right.
And what groups or what are you doing to stay in good recovery?
I'm part of SA. We have local meeting, two local meetings, but they're all on Zoom now. When COVID first came, I was doing a lot of SA phone meetings for like a regular phone meeting and not the Zoom meetings. And I see my CSAT every week, who's fantastic.
Oh, great.
And your book. Yeah, your book. And then me and Kim will also watch Dr. Weiss as well on his podcast when he's on live on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're working hard. You know, I always say, Stephen, that you want to work on two things at the same time. You want to work on your own recovery, obviously, you know, so that you can be the man you want to be. But then you also want to work on the relationship. And would you agree with me that working on that relationship can be harder than working on your own personal recovery?
I agree 2,000%.
Okay. And so if you would, tell our listening audience, because I'm going to remind anybody that tuned in late, that I've got a couple on and they're having trouble. They're having relational trouble and they're not working together like they would like to. And so I'm going to ask Stephen, what are three things that you really appreciate about Kim? And I don't want them to be about roles. I don't want you to say, oh, she's a good mother. What I want you to know about is about her character, her personality.
Well, Kim is very passionate and loving. She's there for everybody. And it proves it that she's there for me 3 years later, and I'm still not over me abusing her. I appreciate that she's still here with me and doing all this work for something that I caused. And then, I mean, she listens to me. She accepts the things I've done wrong, and she doesn't judge me. And I appreciate that. And she's like that with everybody. She really is. She's an amazing woman.
Yeah, and you know, those are incredible qualities. I mean, I wish I had more of that in me. So, Kim, congratulations on being that loving and passionate and, you know, being non-judgmental. What are three things that you believe are very, very positive about Stephen?
Three things. He always makes me laugh. He is, I don't want to say a great father. I want to say an awesome father, like with his kids and the way he interacts with them most of the time. He's kind with them, and he really tries to be different than our parents were, and that I do appreciate. And he's a hard worker, and he really has worked hard and come far from where we were 3 years ago. And I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult for both of us, but I'm sure it's very difficult for him to try to get through all of this as well.
Okay. Now, you kind of came up with roles. You've said he was a good father and a hard worker. But I heard you say that he was kind, and he's funny, and it sounds like he, by being a hard worker, he's dedicated.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes. Yep, I would say dedicated.
Okay, because go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right, because while you two are really kind of, I don't want to say battling it out, but while you two are disagreeing with each other about things and stonewalling, it's also important to know what it is that you love about the other person and to be aware of that during the day in the same way that you're aware of the discouraging things that are going on between the two of you. Now, in your email, Kim, you said that you got really, really angry with him. And it sounds like your brain kind of went offline. And you actually got physical with him. And he has been resentful of you ever since because of that. Is that true?
Yes. It is true.
Okay. Now, Stephen, from chapter one of my book, what do you know about trauma brain?
It's like you said, they go offline. They can't tell the difference between present and past. And I guess the reactions, I don't remember exactly, but I know they're really not in control of their action, I guess, at that time.
It's like
fight or flight.
Like they're, the primal survival skill comes out in them, and when they're super angry, they may be aggressive. And I'm not making excuses for Kim in any way, shape, or form. I would always ask both of you not to be aggressive. But is that
right.
Something that was very characteristic of her?
Prior to discovery?
Yeah. That's why I really think this is a trauma brain symptom. And on a scale of 1 to 100, how resentful or angry are you about her getting aggressive with you? 100% is, I was furious. I can't let it go. I hate her. And 1 is, no, I understand about trauma brain, and I get it. I don't approve of it, but I get it.
I don't know. I kind of would go more with a 75 but I do get it too, and I'm just not accepting it on my end, I guess. That's why the number's so high.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because John Gray, the Venus and Mars guy, I trained with him. And do you remember that old book, Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus? He said that the greatest gift a woman can give a man is forgiveness. And that's because women are relational, and they usually, when they get hurt, it's hard for them to let go. And in this situation, it sounds like, have you tried to let go of this one incident, or is it just burning inside of you?
I've tried to let go of it. I mean, I can get past it. I really can. I just afraid that it'll happen again. And that's kind of where I go offline, and I just don't want to do anything anymore, which kills me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I get that for both of you, because I could really tell from your email, Kim, you don't want to do it again either. Could you feel, Kim, that it was starting to surge inside of you, you know, the anger?
Yeah, I can feel it.
Okay. And so what did that feel like physically? I'm going to ask you to kind of do a body scan and to tell our listening audience how your body felt as you were getting more and more angry.
I felt it in my stomach. I was definitely like, you know, my heart was pumping and just, like everything felt tight and stressed and I don't know, like wound, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's where that old adage comes into play. You're wound up tight. And that means you're really triggered and it was, I called it a surge. It was surging inside of you. Now, when you two get to that point where you're really furious with each other, can you call a timeout with a time that you'll come back to discuss it? I mean, that is what all the great therapists say, is that you've got to say, you know what, I need to chill. I'm going to walk out the door, or I'm going to walk into the bedroom, or I'm going to take a shower, or I'm going to go run around the block, and I mm-hmm. will get back with you in a half hour or an hour or tomorrow morning. Have you two ever tried to do that?
Well, we have tried, and there's like a point where, like, you know, that would be okay and I can do it. And then I reach a point where I probably would fight even for that time out. You know, I would still be angry about having to have the time out. I think what, like, so I just to kind of give it an example, like, none of this violent stuff happened until after, like, the relapse time was going on. And I think mm-hmm. that it's hard for me to, I think, like I said in the letter, I'm not really fighting about what he actually did in his addiction. It's more that the behaviors are still here, like the behaviors surrounding it. So when I'm addressing a behavior like that, and I get, you know, I get stonewalled because I'm talking about it, it feels like there is no timeout, because a timeout is just going to lead to more silence. Like, I will still not be heard. I think that's where I get mismatched. that's where I get flooded, is where I feel like I'm not heard and I will never be heard. So the timeout thing, while great in theory, it just is hard to play out in those moments.
Can I add to
and
that?
So let me add, before you add, Stephen, I definitely want you to add, but will you repeat back, this is reflective listening, would you repeat back what you heard her say? So you look at her in her eye and you say, her left eye, the window to the soul, and you say, Kim, what I heard you say. So would you give that a try?
I'll try. Kim, what I heard you say is that even when we go into a timeout, you get upset with the timeout. And you are trying to avoid the fight. Really kind of where I'm at. I'm not the best at reflective listening.
Well, that's okay. Did he get that right?
Yeah.
What did he miss? Will you repeat that back for him? So, and this time he knows he's going to be asked what he heard. So you get a second chance here, Stephen.
Once I approach a subject and it feels like it's been stonewalled, I feel like I'm not being heard. And if a timeout comes up, or we want to take a timeout, it's hard for me to do that, because then I feel like I will never be heard. Because I don't think that you will not stonewall me after the timeout either.
Okay, can you repeat back what you heard say and say, Kim,
yes.
I heard you say.
Well, Kim, I heard you say that when we do have an issue and we start talking about it, you feel stonewalled by me and that you're not being heard. And that also that if we do a timeout, it's hard for you because you believe that when we come back, you're still going to be stonewalled.
Right.
Okay. Now, you were going to respond to that, Stephen. So go ahead and remember, Kim, I'm going to ask you to reflectively listen and give feedback too. So go ahead
and
tell her.
All right, thanks
for the tip.
I think the fight with the timeout is a great thing to do, but I have been my issue is I disassociate, and when I get frustrated, I always want to abandon everything. So going into a timeout is definitely got to be hard for Kim, because my thing is always never talk about it again, or I'm going to leave and not come back. And the timeout is never really a timeout. So that makes it even harder for her. That's, you know, and it's something I've done my whole life. I've always ran away from the problem or ignored it and been disassociated. And that's kind of what happens to me. And so when we go into a timeout, I'm kind of mad and disassociated, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. And that's where I struggle.
Got it. Well, that was good insight on your part. So can you repeat what you heard Stephen say?
Yes. So, Stephen, I heard you say that you're kind of understanding of what I had said, and that when something comes up or we're in an argument, you disassociate and you don't want to talk about it ever again. And that you really kind of would rather just table it forever. So that was, you acknowledged what I kind of fear, which was actually really helpful.
Well, great. I'm glad that he acknowledged it. That piece that you just forgot was that when he disassociates, it ends up sending you the message that you fear the most, that he's abandoning you.
Right.
And so he gets how that could be triggering to you. And,
right.
you know, that was a good insight, too, that he disassociates naturally. He's been doing it all his life. And when this stuff happens, he goes into that mode. And so, Stephen, have you talked to your certified sexual addictions therapist about that?
Yes. We discussed it. And we've even done couples therapy with him recently. And he's, as I said, he's fantastic.
And so does he ground you then when he sees that happening in the office? Does he help you come back online?
I haven't been like that in front of him, because as I said, so usually only me and him, and we do a Zoom meeting you know, right now, and I'm never really like that with him. It's a very helpful thing for me, so he doesn't see that side of me, and I guess that's an issue, but he's aware of it and he's definitely helping me with it. We talk about it.
Excellent. And do you remember, I mean, have you two had many sessions with your CSAT?
I think we've had three total, the last two sessions, the last 2 weeks. And then I guess when the first month that I started with them back in like May or June.
So after that last relapse, you found a CSAT and got yourself in there.
Yeah, I got a new CSAT. My other one retired.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad you feel really happy. So timeouts. And they may not work as well as we'd like them to. What I really want her to do is to be real aware of what's going on in her body so that she can begin to manage that. And that typically does take a timeout. It takes some time to get away from, well, you know, in the restaurant business, my sister used to work at Chi-Chi's. And when a customer was unhappy with something, their first rule of thumb was rid of the offending item. Remove the offending item. And so what I hear you saying, Kim, is when stonewalling occurs, when you're arguing back and forth, when maybe there's some innuendos that you're not good enough, he's not good enough, it really becomes very scary to you, and you can feel your emotions surging, and then some of the time, not always, you feel out of control.
Right.
And actually removing yourself from the offending argument is the best thing to do. Now, that means you have to have some faith that the two of you can come back together. So if you had to compromise and negotiate on an amount of time to take a break, take a timeout, and then come back How much time would you both need?
Hmm. I don't really know. that's something I it depends on the kind of fight it is. I usually just, even coming back within an hour, I'm still the same person. It's kind of like I can't shake it sometimes, even though I know I have to mm-hmm. shake it. So I really don't have a time that I can give you on that one.
Can I ask a question? Is it, Steven, is it that you just don't, like I don't know. I had this question in mind, and now I kind of lost it. But is it that you are trying, like, you don't want to discuss it again? Like, when she's asking you how long of a time, is it already in your head, like, forever? I don't want to talk about it ever again?
On some fights, it gets like that. I feel like we're stuck, and I don't want to talk about it again. And then I get frustrated when we get back and we do start talking about it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's what I want you two to do till your next couples counseling session with your CSAT.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you begin to argue about something, I want you to sit knees to knees, facing each other, looking at the left eye, the window of the soul, and I want you to, in three sentences or less, make your point, and then I want the other person to reflectively listen what they heard, and then I want you to alternate. Because what I want you to do is bring down the tension. Now, Stephen, you already learned that if you acknowledge that you at least heard what she said, she'll feel safer. So I really want you to work on that acknowledgement formula that comes from ABR, where you acknowledge the issue, validate the feelings, and reassure. I don't know that you're ready for part two and part three, but I want you to work on that acknowledgement, okay?
Okay, I can do that.
Now, as I look, we are at the end of our show. I want to commend you two for being so honest, because I know our listening audience, they were saying, that happens to me. That happens to me. And so I can hear the insight in both of you. It's obvious that you love each other. If you could begin every day before you even get out of bed to remind yourself why you're still here and those three things that you admire about the other person, it will just begin to neutralize a little bit of the pain and the anguish and the arguing. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Guys, thank you so much for being on the show. And like I said, you're very brave, and I know you've helped a lot of people. I wish you the best of luck, and I just have lots of positive feelings about where you're going in this relationship. I know it has brought a lot of pain, but I think you're growing stronger, too.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right,
you
two. Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right. Again, Kim and Steven that came in and actually sent me an email, Kim did, and wanted some help. They got a lot of work to do, but I definitely felt like there was potential there to heal. I hope you did too. All right. Well, we are ending the show. But as I say at the end, there will always be only you to absolutely have the courage to be yourself. Steven and Kim were very courageous today. They were open, honest, and transparent. You work on that too. And if you're not in a safe environment, find people that really are. And if you would like to be on the show, if you have an issue, feel free to contact me at Carol@CarolTheCoach.com.
For more information, go to APSATS.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.